Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
You have tuned into Cowboy Church. Welcome. My name is Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
We are here and we have a message and some singing for you today, and we sure hope you enjoy it.
And I always have a crazy question to ask you.
Uh-huh.
But today I don't.
So oh, good.
I'm letting you off the hook. This time you get to ask the crazy question.
Oh, heck, I ain't got no crazy questions. I'm just a blank. I'm so concrete, you know? I'm a concrete thinker.
You are?
Yeah, I am.
What's really interesting is it's my goal every week is to throw a question at her that she doesn't know how to answer. And so far, I'm 0-2,000.
Well,
you always have an answer. How can you call it concrete?
If I don't know it, I just make it up.
You do.
You know, that's just the way it is. We hope you enjoy the show today. We've got a great message for you. We've got some singing. So sit back, relax, and enjoy Cowboy Church.
You realize that's the first question I threw at you didn't have an answer for?
There you go.
I win. It's 1-2,000.
The lady that wrote this next song, she wrote 8,000 in her lifetime. Can you imagine the pieces of paper that she had laying around her house? Because in those times, they didn't have a laptop. They didn't have anything for her to store anything in. She was born, and then they gave her the wrong medicine, and it blinded her. And yet, she did not let that keep her from writing so many hymns that we've sang in our churches through the years. Fanny Crosby. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee, let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labors of my hand can fulfill thy law's demands. These for sin cold Christ I bring simply to thy cross I cling. Such powerful words. It gets down to the basis of Christianity. It's only the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In my hand, oh, Christ I bring simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Amen.
Today we're going to be talking about one of my two of my favorite verses in the scriptures, Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, and it says this, and I could quote it to you, but I think I would probably mess it up sometimes if I do. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." Good, acceptable, and perfect. Three ways to describe the one will of God. And I want to pray and ask the Lord to just take us through these passages, because I'm going to be talking about an interesting concept this morning. And if you want to kind of get ahead of me while I'm praying, just view the concept of a hinge. How does a hinge work? You know, when you open your doors, how the hinge works, and your stall doors or wherever you need your car doors, they all have these things called hinges, and they're a really, really important part to the Word of God. And we're going to be talking about some hinges in the Word of God, and I think you'll be interested in it. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would just guide our words, guide our steps, Lord, that we may understand the things you have for us to progress in your plan. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look at that, I'm gonna get back here quite a bit, because I have some scriptures to read. Hinges have to do, they are the mechanism for making a gate a gate. In other words, without a hinge, a gate is not a gate. Either it's just an opening, or it's just part of the wall. It takes the hinge in order to really qualify as a gate. And what we really are and what we have in our lives, we become our heart and our mind and our thinking. It has these gates, but if we don't have the hinges to put those gates on, then we don't have the ability to open our hearts to the right things and close our hearts and minds to the wrong things. And so this morning I'm going to be talking about how these hinges work and some of the gates that we'll be working with. So what are the gates to our heart? And I have about four or five scriptures, and I want you to get you a notebook and write these down. They're really good. I can't quote all of them because I've got a bunch of them. But I just looked up the word if, and I just began to get this concept of if being the word that is actually the hinge to the gates that make things work in our Christianity. 1 John 5, 14 answers the question, how do we open or close these, or what is the hinges? And one of the things he says, if we ask, and most people just stop there. So that's what faith is. If you just ask, you have that. But it says, if we ask according to his will, then he will answer our prayers. In Deuteronomy 6, 25, and again in Exodus 19, the concept of this is, how do we protect or feed our spirit? It says, if we're careful to observe all that I've said, then I will, and it talks about the blessings that he will bring. It says, in Exodus 19, 5, it says, if they obey my voice, if they obey my voice, then I will bring them in, I will feed them, I will do whatever needs to be done to make them successful. And it's kind of a cool thing. In 1 Peter 3, 14, how do we invoke God's blessings? And this is New Testament. Is that if you suffer, you suffer the right way. Well, now, wait a minute. I thought if we were Christians and we did everything right, God was going to bring all these many blessings. Well, he does. But he brings blessings because of things that he uses to train us and to develop us. See, testing is one of the things that God uses to bring about his blessings in our lives and our attitudes. The way we accept those blessings, or the way that we actually live in them, have to do with whether the blessings will really be viable or not. In Malachi chapter 2, it says, make up your mind. What do you mean, make up my mind? Well, it says there, make up your mind. Either you're going to serve me or you're not going to serve me. You need to make up your mind today. Today is the day, and it's time to make up your mind whether you're going to obey and follow God or not. And I'm just going to, these are for your write down purposes. In John 15, 5 through 7, in Proverbs 2, 1 through 5, 2 Chronicles 15, 2, and James 2, 7. Look those up and look at those words if. John 15, 5 through 7, Proverbs 2, 1 through 5, 2 Chronicles 15, 2, and James 2, 7. Those are the gates that we begin to open or close with the ifs that God gives to us to work with. So now we're going to go through some statements, and this is how to make our faith functional. It's just some really interesting things about hinges and gates. I have a horse, and I've got the slider, you know, so it's kind of a different kind of thing. But if I don't get that latch latched, what he does every time I feed, now that he knows that I have an occasion that jams up in the bottom of that lock, and I go to shut it, and it doesn't really latch. It looks like it's good. It looks like it's shut. But what he'll do is he'll reach up with his nose and he'll just move that. And if it moves, what he does, he just moves it on out. He opens up the door and he just walks out. And he's walked out several times, and thank God I have a really faithful dog that exposes his sinfulness and barks and lets me know. And all I have to do is go out there and go, so what are you doing? And he goes, I've been caught. And he goes right back in. But every time, if that gate latch is loose or not latched, he will just open it and come in. And guys, it's the same concept.
We have some gates that's going to determine on how well we live for God and whether we're successful and whether we're not successful. And I know you're going to say, oh, by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's salvation. That's the miracle that happens when you commit your life to Christ. You cannot do that any way, shape, or form. It takes God and the blood of Jesus Christ being shed on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. It's such a huge item that you could never save yourself. It's only Jesus. But now that you're saved, we'll go back to Romans. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. And now see, Romans 12, we already have gone through getting saved in Romans 3 and Romans 6 and progressed in through Romans 9. We're at Romans 12 now. And Romans 12 is where he begins to talk with us how to continue to live for God after we have asked him to come into our lives. We accepted him as our Savior. We've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we are now born again creatures. Now, if you had a baby, anything, and that baby, well, there's some things that don't work this way, but most mammals, if you have a baby and that baby's born and the mother walks off, usually the baby doesn't survive. There's a survival deal, and we need to listen to then see the things of nature so that we get an understanding of what God's heart is. And in Romans 12, it's now talking about it's time to live for God. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service to make yourself and to bring about holiness with God's help, to bring about holiness in the way that you walk, in the things that you do, in the way that you take care of your body, in the way that you take care of your mind, in the way that you take care of your spirit. Those are responsibilities that you have. Maybe not so much right after you got saved, but as you mature, you begin to take on more responsibilities and you get to a point where it's time to find out why in the world God created you. And the only way you find that out, according to Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. This is not salvation, guys. Salvation was taken care of. You're now saved. Because you're saved, it's your responsibility to start cleaning up. You know where it shows up in the cleanup? Shows up in your mouth. One of the areas that your walk with God begins to reflect itself is in the ways that you communicate and the ways you talk. And the Bible has a lot to say about taking God's name in vain. And it has a lot to say about the things that come out of your mouth, how important it is that we monitor those things and we allow God to use those things to bring about goodness from God. We need to, the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The only way you're going to control your mouth, it's a guiding force here. The only way you're going to control your mouth is for God to control your heart and for you to stay in constant communion with God. So you begin to think with the words and the kindness and the thoughts that God would have you say in the way and method that he wants you to say them, and with the wisdom that he'll give you in the contemplation of your heart, and it be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means get in the Word of God, find out how God thinks, what are God's thoughts on the situation, and it begins to reflect in your mouth. It begins to reflect on the way that you do business. It begins to reflect on your honesty. God forbid that we as Christians should be dirty, cheating Christians. We should be examples of integrity of the highest level. It's imperative in order for the world to be saved that we become examples. And you say, well, oh, Russ, but you don't understand how I am. Yeah, I do. But it's no excuse to stay there. This is a hard message. It's a difficult message. And the way that you change where you are is you begin to look for the ifs in God's word. You begin to walk out and live out the ifs that God has put in there. He gave it to the children of Israel. He says, if you'll obey these laws, if you will do these, I will. And he began to name the blessings over and over again. He said, but if you don't. Now, they're already the children of God. They're reflective of what our walk is, completed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are completely saved. But if we neglect the ifs in our life of feeding our heart and feeding our spirit man and becoming more Christ-like, if we completely neglect those things, we can experience spiritual starvation. And when we do, our spirit dies. James says it like this. He said, faith without works is dead. So what if you're saved? So what if you've got all this good stuff and you haven't gone through the process that God wants you to go through of completing the work? The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not talking about being born again. It's talking about the moment from born again until we reach eternity, until we get to heaven. And between now and then, we're in a process of cleaning up, purifying, and making our walk holy before God, because the world is looking for people who really know how to live for God, who are not doing it under a phony pretense or a false pretense and living a false pretense life. They hate hypocrites. Do you know why every preacher that gets in trouble is exposed to all of the garbage that's on the TV? So the preacher did something that most of the people in the congregation are doing, or most of the people in the world are doing, but they see a preacher do it. And the reason they hate it is they know that preacher, a man of God, should have cleaned those things out of his life and should have began to live for God in such a manner that he becomes an example. Because when they lose the preacher and they lose the person who says that they're a Christian, and they find out, they look behind the veil and see as a corrupted a person is that lives in the world, all hope that it can bring salvation to them is crashed, devastated. The world, though it hates and will make fun of you, the world is looking for somebody who can stand up and live for God, who can become the kind of example that God wants them to be, who can fight the battles, and in the middle of all the issues, they can keep going forward and committing their life to Christ so that they can be effective. And the Bible says it like this: don't be conformed to the world. What does that mean? The world wants you to act a certain way. It wants you to talk a certain way. It wants you to do business a certain way. It wants you to have all the dishonesty a certain way. The world, conforming to the world, is not why God created you. Conforming to the world is not God's plan for your salvation and for your eternity. Conforming to the world is the compromise that brings about death of your spiritual man and causes you to be deflated in your ability to stand up before sin. Well, this is pretty good stuff. And I'm telling you guys, the world right now, America right now, it needs to see men of God who claim to be Christians, who know how to commit their life to Christ and proclaim Christ as a Savior. And it begins to show in the way that they live. It begins to show up in their walk. It begins to show in their family, and their family sees the difference in those who serve God and those who don't serve God.
Thank you for your support for Cowboy Church. It's been wonderful to see the financial support come in. Because of you, we can stay on the air. You can write to us at the address shown on your screen right now. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you next time on Cowboy Church. Mm-hmm.